With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello. And welcome to
Hello, David.
Hi, Tim. And welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys.
Just before we went on air, you just accused me because I haven't bought my computer.
No.
You accused me of not taking it as seriously as
Well, I think that's true because I mean, last two times you just haven't brought your computer. So right. What am I to make of that?
That it's quite heavy to bring in the back of my bike.
Yeah, this is what you said. Yeah, frankly, I mean, as we know from the last one, you are a cyclist.
Yeah.
I mean, quite a very keen, rigorous cyclist. Yeah. And actually, the truth is that you're a Peloton user.
Yeah.
You know, so you're obviously healthy, fit man.
That's not an insult, you know.
I'm not thinking of an insult. I'm saying you're clearly someone who would not have a heart attack if you had to carry a laptop in a rucksack to where we are now.
I don't want to risk it.
Actually, talking of health, I've recently started having cold showers. I'm endlessly trying to make sure that I don't get dementia. I thought cold water on my skull.
Yeah, you know, you just told the story.
That'll definitely do the trick. And just generally, I'd read a few things saying it was a good thing. And so I've been doing that, but it's quite hard. It's not that easy. Every morning, I think, I'm not the cold shower.
How long do you take it for?
Well, this is what I'm going to explain. This is why it's relevant to this podcast.
Okay.
So what I've started to do is play a song. I choose a song before I go into the cold shower, and I try and stay in the shower for the duration of that song. And this morning, I went for an 8-line poem, because I thought...
Lovely.
I thought, slightly wrongly it turned out...
It's short.
Pretty short, won't be that difficult, I'll be out, you know, it won't be awful. Well, I forgot about 8-line poem. I was thinking just about the idea of it being 8 lines, and that being quite a short amount of words, so it'll be over. Fuck of a long intro.
8 lines and loads of guitar.
It's really a long, long intro.
Yeah.
And I was actually shouting, come on, David, start singing. Enough of Mick already.
Right.
Come on, I'm freezing.
Also, he sings incredibly slowly on it. That must have frustrated you.
Quite slowly. I was also quite worried, as you know, on the album. It wasn't. I was just playing it on Spotify. On the album, it just goes straight into Are You Pretty Things. So I was worried it might do that. I might not even realise. I might just be stuck in the shower all through Are You Pretty Things.
It's an interesting thought as to what... I think I have a... I've got one thought about what the shortest Bowie song is.
Yes, what is it?
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking that the first side of Low has lots of short songs, and I'm thinking...
Not that short.
No, but... Well, if it's the shortest, that's all that matters.
No, but... But I can think of a shorter track immediately.
Okay, don't say it.
Okay.
Because I know our listeners love it when we try and guess something.
Oh, they love that.
Hang on. So, okay, can I just finish the thought? But maybe... Because things like Breaking Glass and...
Be My Wife.
Not so much Be My Wife, but I'm thinking Breaking Glass, and what's the other one in the middle there?
Sound and Vision?
No.
Crashing in the Same Car?
Crashing in the Same Car, maybe. Well, that's... Anyway,
New Career in a New Town?
Well, no, that's quite long.
Okay.
But you think there's one shorter than, say...
No, not
Breaking
on Low.
Glass. No, no, Breaking Glass.
There's definitely a shorter Bowie track.
Okay.
Track.
Oh, Future Legend.
Future Legend.
Is that... But you might find that's quite long.
No, it's... Okay, let's check. Okay, what do you think is the length of Future Legend?
Okay, I think Future Legend comes in at...
Yeah.
141.
I'm not sure if it's actually on the internet, length of Future Legend. Oh, yes. One what?
141.
No, it's 110.
Okay.
And I'd be amazed if there's a shorter
I think you
Bowie
may
track
have got it. I mean, I'm going to...
Than that.
I'm going to Google shortest Bowie track, just in case.
Okay. I mean, while we're on obscure Bowieana... Never actually used that phrase in this entire time, but is that what you would say?
Because it's wrong.
Bowieana?
Bowieana being what?
Well,
all things
arcane
Bowie.
Stuff about David Bowie. So, for example, my mum, as I'm sure I have said on this show, used to run a business called Golfiana, which was all things golf. Come to Sarah Bedil's business stall and you can buy stuff to do with golf.
Yeah.
Golfiana. Right? So wouldn't we call Bowieana?
I might call it Bowiefinalia. What I'm thinking.
Bowiefinalia. Okay. Bowiefinalia is not quite what I mean, though, is it? Because I don't just mean stuff.
Right.
Although I did in terms of my mum and Golfiana. I mean just like we're discussing Bowiana. So that is arcade.
I don't think that sounds right at all.
Isn't it? Another question I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
So when I put on Eight Line Poem, I then got out the shower. To be honest with you, I got out when he finished singing. And there's quite a bit of guitar after that. But I couldn't quite handle it, so I got out.
Right.
And then I put my earphones in and listened to two more tracks that were just following on this sort of Spotify playlist. And one of them was All the Mad Men. Now, I think this is the most obscure question that could ever be asked about David Bowie. And that is, and I Googled this to see if it was on the internet. It's not even on the internet.
Okay.
And the question is, in the spoken voice bit in All the Mad Men, you'll know that
bit.
Perhaps
you
can do it for us very quickly.
Well, that has the scientist, doesn't it? It has the girl going...
David, before you get to the girl, that's the question.
Okay.
Okay, so David says...
Organic matter is something,
that's what the scientist says.
Yeah.
David says, where can the horizon lie?
That's okay.
For a nation that hides its organic...
Matter.
Organic growth.
Growth.
Organic matter.
Organic,
no, I think the scientist says growth. No, I think the scientist says growth. And David says organic matter in its heads or something.
Yeah, okay.
Where does the... Anyway, you know that bit.
Yeah, and the girl goes...
Okay, so here's the question.
Yeah, okay.
I clearly do know it anyway, but I'm quite impressed that you do.
Okay.
What does the girl say? There's a background voice of a girl.
Yeah.
What does she say?
I say this all the time to my kids.
What does she say?
Can I keep it?
Not quite.
Oh.
That's close. She says something before that.
Oh, hang on. Because isn't this also where he goes, this is one of the worst bits of Bowie acting ever, where he goes, they must be very dim.
Very dim.
That's really bad. Yeah. That's one of the worst bits of Bowie speaking ever.
Shall we see if we can... Well, let's get the lyrics up.
They must be very,
very important,
dim.
This. The ordinary lyrics don't have that bit. That's annoying.
Can we take a very quick parenthesis, because I'm going to lose this?
Well,
which is 10 shortest songs of all time.
Oh, right, yeah.
They have got number 10. There's only one Bowie entry.
Right.
And it's at number 10, and it is Breaking Glass.
Okay, but then they're not including Future Legend as a song.
What I was going to say was that's at 152.
Right.
So you must be right, Future Legend.
So what is the shortest song?
The shortest song, according to Classic Rock magazine...
Shall I try and guess? I don't think I'll be able to.
I think you will.
I won't. In all songs, the shortest song ever. I mean, like... The problem with that is what counts
Exactly. So I think if you think about it, it's a classic rock, you know, rock in its broadest sense magazine. They've already got it wrong about Bowie. They don't know about Future Legends. Mm. So it's sort of going to be a very famous... It's going to be quite famous.
Right. It's a Beatles song?
Yeah, okay. So Beatles, and it's on probably their most famous album, maybe?
Sgt. Pepper?
Okay, no. Not their most famous album.
Abbey Road?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so you must have it.
No, I don't have it. I don't know.
Because it's not... It's a snippet.
It's a snippet. Fuck.
It's a snippet at the very end.
Yes. Your Majesty?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Your Majesty.
Her Majesty. I think it's called Her Majesty.
It's Your Majesty. Or is it Her Majesty?
Her Majesty, yeah.
Okay, Her Majesty. Okay.
Sorry, we're back to...
Well, no, I'm quite pleased, but how long is Her Majesty?
Oh, God, I've gone off the page now.
It's quite a strange question. I never ask it in The Crown.
It's 52 seconds.
Is it?
No, I'm sort of making that up just to sort of make it go away.
I mean, it's all, by the way, I mean, let's not get onto this, but Her Majesty is a fantastic example of the thing I most hate about the Beatles, which is their terrible tweeness.
Well, okay, we can go into that.
That's not penis, by the way. I didn't say penis.
No, I mean, I know, absolutely know that you said a terrible tweeness.
Yeah.
I think it's quite clever. Also, it was moved in the order of things.
It was it?
Yeah. So what you can hear at the beginning of Her Majesty, everyone will know this, is the end crashing chord of Mean Mr. Mustard. That, you hear that sort of...
Right, I don't know Mean Mr. Mustard. I've heard of it, but
it's one of the tracks on. Right.
Yes, so I know
they
that.
They moved it.
I wouldn't know about the crashing chords at the end of it.
No, but when you hear Her Majesty, it begins with a sort of
okay.
weird noise, and that's just the end of... another song that it was butted up next to, and yes, I said but.
Okay, let's have a quick go, shall we? Okay, you're wrong, by the way.
What?
It's not Me, Mr. Mustard.
Okay, in which case, it is... It'll either be...
I'm going to give you a clue.
Yeah.
Think of Her Majesty as a coda, a PS to this album. So therefore, the previous song is...
Well, it's either Polythene Pam...
No, no, think of what I just said.
Oh, right. Okay. No, I'm just thinking of the songs on Abbey Road in the medley.
That. Get that out of your head. Right. Just think of this as a puzzle, okay? Her Majesty
she came
on Abbey
the
Road
window.
Is sort of a PS. It's kind of a coda. Therefore, the previous song is called...
She Came In Through the Bathroom Window.
No! What's just before a PS or a coda? What would you say... It's just before that.
Yeah, but I know the songs, and so I'm trying to fit the song.
Yeah, I don't want you to do that.
Right. It's
I want you to get my clue.
Okay. But the clue is throwing me, because I'm just going to go through the medley songs, which is, she came in through the bathroom, Polythene Pam, she came in through...
it's like an afterthought. There's a number of chapters, and then there's a coda. Number of chapters.
A book.
Yeah.
A novel.
Yeah, but if there's a lot of chapters in this book, in inverted commas...
Yes.
And then there's a coda.
Conclusion.
Very close. You're very close with the word conclusion.
Yeah, but none of this is getting me near the songs
How
on the medley.
How can it not be? What's another word for conclusion? What you're doing is you're clue refusing. you're just absolutely refusing to try and work out the clue.
The medley is made of Polythene Pam.
Yeah, no one's interested in
mean
this.
Mean Mr. Mustard.
It's much further than that anyway.
What do you mean?
It's after the medley.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was attached.
It's The End. The song is called The End.
Is it from The End? Wow.
The song is called The End.
I didn't know it was off the back of
No amount of me saying, conclusion. What comes at the...
It comes after The End.
A PS, a coda. Yeah. What's just before that? Yeah. The End. Do you see what I'm saying?
The great tragedy of...
Of that whole bit.
Of that album is that if they'd have finished on The Love You Take is Equal to The Love You Make...
Mm.
It would have been the most amazing end to an entire career, wouldn't it? But then they stick it Her Majesty on the end.
No. Well, that's what's wrong with the Beatles. Tweeness.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's tweeness. I think it's slightly self-conscious.
In many ways, the Beatles' tweeness was their penis.
Yeah, I can see how you...
how would... I come to that.
No, I can't. I could just see you wanted to rhyme that.
Yeah, I did want to say that.
Yeah.
Look, anyway, can I go back to David Bowie?
Yeah.
So it's Where Can the Horizon Lie? When a nation hides its organic minds in a cellar dark and grim, they must be very dim.
They must be very dim.
All right, now... There are two other voices on that. One is a scientist saying something like, it's organic growth is what makes a nation, something like that. But never mind about that. There's a girl who says something. What does she say?
Well, she definitely says, can I keep it?
No, I don't think she says, can I keep it?
Oh, really? That's...
She says something quite creepy.
Hmm.
What she says is, and now I don't exactly remember, but it's something like, and we're going to have to play it.
Yeah.
It followed me home. Can I keep it?
Oh, right. Is it Can I Keep It or Can I Keep Him?
I don't know, but it's definitely Can I... It followed me home. And I only heard it today, for the first time, because I was listening in my headphones. And it's a sort of weird... Who do you think's saying that? Like, I can't find a reference to this on the internet. So not even in Pushing Ahead of the Dame or any Bowie sites.
It's not picked
up. Is there anyone saying who this is, who says this, or what it means, or...
Maybe only you and I can hear it.
Well, I've wondered about that. It's quite ghostly.
Because the thing about that album, and All the Mad Men being perhaps the sort of most obvious example of it, it's the madness of his half-brother, it's the asylum and all that. And so you've got this sense of creepy Victorian mental institutions. And I've always assumed that she's sort of like an inmate but I hadn't ever picked up the He Followed Me Home. I heard it a million times, but rather the Can You Keep It, or no, it turns
can
out
I keep
Can You Keep
Him?
Him.
I mean, I sort of related it in my mind to Laughing Gnome. It sounds a little bit like the gnome, or Laughing Gnome.
Yes.
And I wonder if it was the gnome, talking
that
about maybe another gnome. Or,
oh, no, she's being followed. No.
Or she's being followed by the gnome. Yeah.
Yes, is she? Wow, we really are going.
unless that's the gnome, I know, because just because it's high voice doesn't mean it's a
girl. It doesn't
sound
anything like the gnome. The gnome,
well,
as you know, because
like
you do a very good gnome.
No, you do a very good gnome.
Oh, is it me?
Yes, it's you,
Is
About four seasons ago, you did a brilliant gnome.
He followed me home. That's more of a Munchkin from Wizard of Oz, isn't it?
Can you say, can I keep him?
Can I keep him?
That's perfect.
That's what that would sound like.
Yes, that is what that sound like. So
she's... But I think she's a little girl. She's is the voice of a little girl.
Do the gnome again, saying that.
Can I keep it?
That's right. All it is slightly more metallic.
I suppose because it would be really hard to do a little girl. Can I keep it? That doesn't really...
Yeah. It's interesting. Just that element of, it makes it not creepy, but ridiculous.
Yeah.
But once once it's sort of softly spoken, it's creepy.
When years ago, and you won't be able to find this, but I wrote a song called Uncle Love.
I won't be able to find it. You're absolutely right.
Sorry, what I meant is you won't want to find it.
All right.
And we wrote this song, this sort of pastiche French love song.
What, like a Jack
ballad.
Brel?
Yeah, pastiche. A little bit of ballad, yeah. And
how's it go? Can you play it now?
Yeah, but that, I'm not sure that guitar works.
Well, it'll work enough. Oh, right.
It was called Uncle Love.
It might not be in tune.
It is in tune.
Yeah, that's fine. That's enough.
So it went... Uncle Love, I don't want to dance with you no more. Like this.
That's fantastic.
And then it because I danced too many times before.
Well, it's nothing like a Jacques Brel song.
But at the end of it...
If anything, it's a bit like Your Majesty.
Right. But
Her Majesty.
But at the end of it...
Yeah.
And I think I was channeling that little girl. We... did a sort of echoey voice at the end that went, "Good night, Uncle."
Okay, because I was going to say,
and it was meant to be
Uncle Love. What was that? What were the lyrics?
I don't want to dance with you
no more.
No more, because I've danced too many times before.
Yeah, if you overlay that
with
a sense of a little girl, that becomes really creepy and
unacceptable. Yeah, no, I suppose it doesn't age brilliantly. We then did that was the only verse, and then we did it in French.
Oh right,
and
can you do it
then,
in French?
Can't remember. I think it went.
Oh, I'd like
you to... Oncle Amour, je ne peux danser... How do you say no more?
I don't know.
Je ne peux danser avec toi, parce que j'ai déjà
dansé
toutes les fois, I think.
This was the band you were in with Peter and that?
No, this was not even a band. You could call it a happening. It was a friend.
It a band, really. It's less embarrassing.
It was a friend at university and we said, let's record a song. Yeah, you know, it was one of those.
Was that your only song?
In that group...
Uncle Love was your only song?
Uncle Love was our only
song.
What was
the name of the band? Or the happening?
Well, I think it was part of a band. It was an offshoot of a band, which you'll know well, called Businessmen on Bicycles.
I remember them, yeah.
Who was our band. Or it was a sort of band. It was a bit like...
possibly the worst name for a band ever.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was a bit like...
it's so unsexy. Like
the Faces. It had lots of different people
at
different times.
But the Faces is a really good name.
It doesn't
for
get
band.
Mentioned the same sentences often, as the Faces.
Yeah.
But I think I was thinking about that creepy voice then.
Oh,
we did it. We did Good Night, Uncle.
Right.
As a sort of slightly echoey, weird,
Have you still got this actually as a recording somewhere?
Somewhere, I think.
God, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know whether...
It's very Beatlesy. Is there another bit of it?
Yeah, there's a chorus.
That's not the chorus?
No, that's the verse.
Oh, okay. So what's the chorus?
I think the chorus is... that you do all that... Cause I do, 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 do. And then there's a chorus. It's many times... And then it's right, go... Uncle Love. Oh, no, hang on.
Keep going, please.
I don't want to dance with you no more. I don't want to dance with you no more. Just went like that.
It's beautiful, but it does have a slightly creepy...
And there's a middle eight.
Inappropriate
element. I remember there's a middle eight.
Okay.
He goes, Uncle...
Uncle Love, I'm only 12.
No, something like... something like...
I've told you before I'm telling my parents.
Door. Oh, I can't remember. I'll there's something about who's that knocking at my door.
It's getting worse.
And it's Uncle Love coming back for more.
Oh, God, it's worse than... worse than... What is it? On Tommy? What's the terrible pedo song on Tommy?
Fiddle About.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Cousin Kevin and... But who's the guy who fiddles about? Played by Keith Moon.
Yeah, the Uncle...
Uncle Love.
Is it Uncle Love? He's a bit like Patty Boyd. He's had two songs written about him. And they're both brilliant.
What is it? What's the name of the character? Uncle Uncle Ernie.
Uncle Ernie. Of course, it's Ernie.
Yeah. It's such a 70s name. Ernie. Wow. I love Uncle Love, though. Yeah, I think you should re-record it.
I'll see if I can find it somewhere.
Well, that'd be great. I hate to move on, almost, because I'd like to talk more about businessmen on bicycles. But what I wanted to bring up was, so that happened with the creepy little girl voice.
Yeah.
And then the next song, which is not a song I've ever been that fond of, was Queen Bitch.
Oh, yeah.
And I became slightly obsessed with something that feels a bit Route 1 for a podcast, as arcane and sort of not Route 1, and it's Bowieana, it's Bowiephilia. Bowiephilia, is that wrong? That's not what you said. Bowiephilia sounds like paedophilia.
No, I think I said...
Did you say Bowiephilia? I'm now worried. I think so, after Uncle Love, that sounds a bit wrong.
That doesn't seem right. Can that have been what I said?
I don't know. Anyway, which is... What is a bibbity-bobbity hat?
Right.
What is it?
Okay, so...
Is it a bobble hat?
No, I think a bibbity-bobbity hat is one of those ones which you see him wearing around the Head and Hall period in the 1970s.
Oh, what? They're just a sort massive, of peaked hat?
Yeah, and a massive floppy brim.
Yeah, a massive floppy brim.
Which was the first album from Businessman on Bicycle.
Sorry, it's a great combination of words. Yeah, I look forward to your massive floppy brim.
I think that's what it is.
Is it? Because I don't know if I agree with that, because isn't he talking... He's not talking about him. He's talking about a woman who I think he's seeing, isn't he?
Yeah,
From up on the seventh floor. He's seeing her walk past.
Yeah.
He's somewhat, you know, in a not very woke way, but it was 1971, calling her a bitch. I could be a bloke, of course.
I think it's more... Yeah, it's funny you say woke, because I've always thought that was really him playing a gay man in that. And I can't quite remember the lyrics now to tell you why.
I'm up on the seventh floor. I'm watching the people.
Cruisers below. So I thought there was maybe a bit... And then there's something else. There's a couple of other things in there. She's trying hard to pull her sister Flo. So there's a lot of sexual ambiguity in there. Incest, even.
Is there incest?
She's trying hard to pull her sister Flo. Is that right?
Or is it sister Flo?
Yeah.
I don't think... You see, what Queen Bitch really is Bowie's most Velvet Underground.
Yes, very Lou Reed. Yeah.
Incredible Velvet Underground. Yeah. And I think Sister Flo is just the name of a character that he's made up, like they used to make up names.
But he's producing Transformer virtually at the same time. Yeah. He's hanging out with You're Right, and he's doing that very...
She's hoping to score. It's so like...
Definitely.
New York. Right. But she's so swishy in a satin and tan. I mean, it might be that gay thing. I remember hearing once, many years ago, that... Jimmy Edwards, who you may remember, was a comedian, a comic actor from the 50s with an enormous moustache.
Yeah.
Like that was his thing, an enormous moustache. And he was once in the BBC bar, and a very camp barman saw him and said, I'm not serving her. I always thought was a brilliant thing to say about Jimmy Edwards. So the That's Queen brilliant. Bitch character may be a very camp man, who he's calling she. But I don't know. I've always imagined it is just a...
Doesn't he say...
Well, she's a queen and such a queen's... Yeah, it might be. I don't know. Who knows? But still, she's so swishy in her satin and tan, her frock coat and bibbity-bobbity hat. I don't think it's his hat. But a bobble hat feels wrong. And I'm thinking bobble just because a bibbity-bobbity sounds a bit like bobble.
I suspect the whole Queen of New York section ambiguity would be ruined by a bobble hat.
A bobble hat.
I'm imagining. Yeah, have you looked up bibbity-bobbity?
Haven't looked up bibbity-bobbity hat. What images would you get with a bibbity-bobbity
hat? Well, I'm going to tell you. Let me try and describe it to you if I see... Here are.
Okay. While you're looking for that...
Yeah, there's a lot... Oh, I want to point something out. Of different hats.
Which is this, right? All that kind of stuff in early Bowie is unbelievably brilliant. I would say. He's throwaway little noises rhythmic sounds and things. It's always brilliant.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And it, the one that maybe that all roads lead to is after Star, isn't it, on Ziggy Stardust, where he says, I think we've talked about this before, but it is a piece of utter majesty when he says, just watch me now.
Yeah.
So he says he's going to be a rock and roll star, and you sort of think, well, it's a song about being a rock and roll star, and he sort of says, just watch me, like, this is serious.
Yes.
That is incredible. Yeah, okay.
let me play that, because that is...
incredible bit of colour. You believe him?
Obviously, I love the opening of this as well. Yeah. For me, this is...
Tony went to fight in Belfast.
Yeah, greatest lyric ever. Rudy stayed at home to starve. But let's just play the end. It's brilliant. But there's loads of that. On the... I don't think of it as in the later albums that he does that so much.
I know what you mean.
But on the early albums, there's a lot of those sort of bits where he just seems to be saying stuff or adding a little sort of squeal or, you know, noise or whatever. And it's fantastic.
You could even take it to the Andy Warhol intro.
Yeah,
you know, just
intros.
All the off stuff you're not supposed to hear.
Yeah.
That you are, but but it's a confidence, isn't it? And it's partly him being the rock and roll star.
Also, you'll remember, of course, that one of our very early bonding moments when we discussed, indeed, Future Legend, and we discussed what song we would take off various Bowie albums in order to put on Where Are We Now, when we decided that that was a great Bowie song.
Yeah.
We take off a great album to put it on.
Yes.
We thought Future Legend, because Future Legend isn't a proper song. And then we both realised, no, the way that he says, this ain't rock and roll, it's genocide, is so brilliant.
It's amazing.
It's the way he does it. It's so brilliant. It doesn't matter that it's not a piece of music.
100%.
On the last podcast, I said, what I do now is I do Bowie news and I bring that. And I did that, and there's nothing new.
Yeah.
There's a few reviews of Stardust, is it called, that movie thing, which are all terrible.
We really must watch that.
Yeah, we must. In fact, we could. I was wondering
Yet?
I don't know if it's out, but if we could see it in a house, possibly after lockdown, we could. I was thinking we could watch it together and record
that's a good idea.
Our thoughts.
It looks extraordinary. It looks as bad as you could possibly make
it. Well, it actually got initially, when it first appeared, and some people seem to have seen it, it got some remarkably good review. It got a good review in the Times.
Did it?
Yeah, and a good review somewhere else. And now it's come out properly, like Rolling Stone and other people have just said rock and roll suicide.
Yeah.
And other people said the thing that you would expect to say, which is, no, this is a film about David Bowie with none of his songs in it, and Johnny Flynn doing a
Sort
of
Noel Fielding
impression.
What song would you, they said rock and roll suicide, which I get, if it had been really good.
Yeah.
What would you say? I don't know the answer, by the way. I'm trying to
think. Yeah, no, neither do I. Well, it's hard to know because there aren't that many very, very upbeat Bowie songs.
Worth driving in on Saturday?
Oh, I see. What, a pun?
Well, I don't know. What I mean is, it's not a pun. It's just literally saying the song title. Maybe there's a neat... There's not a song title called Great Film.
No.
So, for a moment. But is there a Bowie...
What a classic.
Yeah. Is there a Bowie song you could just use as your headline?
Let's dance.
If it was really good. Let's dance.
In celebration at this very good film.
The only people not watching this is all the madmen. could try.
Black Country Rock. I don't know, I just said that because I was really hoping that by the end of that, I just chose it and I thought by the end of this, maybe something will appear and then it
didn't. Our view on the cast? Heroes.
Yeah, well, there is that.
There's not a title.
There's not that many upbeat Bowie songs.
No.
Most of them are about sadness and isolation and alienation. So it's quite hard to get the uptick that you want for a good review. Anyway,
luckily it's terrible.
So anyway, there was no Bowie news, new news.
Yeah.
else I could make out. So what I did instead was I went on eBay. Well, I've gone before to look for Bowie stuff. No, I just put in Bowie, but then I put in highest price to see what the most expensive items are. And blimey, there are some extraordinary...
House.
No, I mean, there's some things on here where I just think, what? So a David Bowie and Mayushi Sukuta co-signed fashion print is 28,893 quid.
Wow.
An Aladdin Sane promotional poster from 1973, not signed, is £26,000.
Really?
A terrible, what it calls super realistic original painting Kufei is £23,000.
Where's the Aladdin Sane one?
11 people are watching that. And it's 56 quid postage. Yeah, David Bowie original painting used in 1980s Athena poster, like a terrible picture.
That is dreadful.
24,950. Wow. Yeah. The only time you get into anything good, right, that you might think about buying.
Hmm.
So his suit from Absolute Beginners. Suit and tie, Absolute Beginners. Yeah. How much do you think that is? What would you pay for that if you were a very rich man?
Suit and the tie together.
Yeah. I don't know how you would absolutely know. I mean, it does look like it. I don't know how you would absolutely brown, know that it is it. No, it's not. It's grey.
Oh, is it?
Definitely okay. Not brown.
For some reason, it's brown in my head. I don't know. Like, is it over £10,000?
It is £10,000.
What, on the nose?
On the nose, £10,000, £9.50 postage, 57 people are watching. It was Jonathan Ross's 60th birthday the other day, I bought him, quite expensive, a vinyl of the 1980 floor show that Bowie did at the Marquee. A vinyl of that, which is quite hard to find.
Yeah, that is hard to find.
I got that from an obscure record shop called Red House Records. Thank you, Red House Records. That cost me, you know, 50 quid or so.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I was pleased with that. If I was if I loved him more, and I love him a lot, I might have bought this because he'd have really liked this.
But I'd say if you're thinking of Bowie and fashion and what he wore, the suit from Absolute Beginners is way down, isn't it?
Yes.
Way down the list.
Yes, that's true. But the other stuff is all at the V&A, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the really great stuff.
That's the closest you can get.
For 2,988 quid, you can get a large mannequin that he used on stage in the Outside tour. Right?
God.
And that's it. Right.
Good. Wow, it looks like someone from
Hiroshima.
Pompeii.
Yeah, from Pompeii.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks like...
$4,000.
$4,000, yeah, for that, which I'm going to believe them that it was used on stage during Outside, you know, and I saw the Outside tour, and I think there were mannequins on stage, but why would you spend that money on that?
What I think that would always end up with is you buy it, you put it... Let's say you can put it somewhere, you know, on show.
Perhaps in your shop window, and put some clothes on it.
Yeah, maybe.
If you bought the Bowie suit.
If you had it in your hat, some people will say, God, what is that?
Yeah.
And you'd say, well, actually, fun enough, it's a mannequin that Bowie used on his Heathen tour.
Yeah.
And that would just elicit a sort of,
right. Yeah. And people would say, Outside wasn't really one of his great albums.
I should say, not Heathen. And then they'd say, maybe what? Have you got anything from like Ziggy Stardust here? And say, no, not really.
Too expensive.
No.
Yeah. No, I know, God knows. But presumably people do buy. I mean, some of the stuff is all right, I think. Oh, here's a Kansai Yakamoto maroon burgundy bead sequin wool jacket.
Okay.
It says Bowie. I don't know if Bowie wore it or not.
He wore it.
No, I don't know.
But this, I think, illustrates something we've said before, which is, imagine he had worn that, fine.
Yeah.
And you bought it, and it's obviously a beautiful... It's sort of... that's not what Bowie is it?
No.
You know, although everyone says it's, you know, his dress and the way that you sort of think, yes, fine. But you're not really getting anything from that. That's not what... It's ultimately much more interesting to hear Queen Bitch, isn't it?
Yes. Now, look.
Wow.
So what I've just discovered on eBay for 595 quid
is
a superb signed, huge original oil painting of Mick Ronson.
Oh, wow.
David Bowie guitarist. It's quite similar.
Wow.
And what I like, a number of things about it, is there's a quote that goes with it. It just says, "This is in lovely condition. The quality of painting is superb." But it's not ascribed.
Not ascribed.
So that quote could just be from the person who's selling it. Right. And then there's quite a lot of information underneath about Mick Ronson, and quite a lot of it is wrong, right? Because it says he was in Mott the Hoople for a time and was responsible for all the young dudes. Well, I mean, he was obviously involved in all the young dudes.
Okay, I think he did join Mott the Hoople briefly.
Yeah, but afterwards. He joined the Hoople, I can tell you.
No, no,
he joined Mott the Hoople after he worked with Bowie. And
but it's true that he's responsible for all the young dudes in a...
Bowie is responsible for all the young dudes.
No, I mean,
I think that to claim responsibility for Mick Ronson just because you want to sell a painting of him leaves out David Bowie. That he also played guitar and piano for Lou Reed on Perfect Day, did he?
Yes.
That might be true.
Yes, it's amazingly true that he is the piano.
Yeah, but then it says he was quite impressive as he was a park attendant from Hull.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, he was quite impressive because he was a brilliant guitarist with David Bowie. Not because he was a park attendant.
That's like saying the brilliant thing about Elvis was he was a baby at one point. So definitely doesn't rule out, does it?
Anyway, you have to go.
Yes, I have to go. Should we end on playing out the creepy girl?
Yeah, well, I don't know that we've ever actually completely nailed down what the creepy girl says.
Oh.
Have we?
I mean, thought it was...
Well, yeah, it's whether it's him or it is the problem.
Right.
Where can the horizon lie when a nation hides its organic minds in a cellar, dark and grim? They must be very dim.
I mean, her saying that has always stuck with me. But I suppose what I would take on my desert island, if I had to get rid of everything else, is they must be very dim. Because it's sort of the worst acting. Because what's he suggesting? That it's a really obvious thing to say, so he's making light of it. What's the motivation there? What's he trying to do by saying...
What, a nation...
Why does he say they must be very dim?
It's actually one of those moments... I think we talked about this on The Laughing Gnome. That on The Laughing Gnome, there's a couple of moments where there is laughter to cover up the fact that it isn't really funny or working or anything, and they just sort of laugh.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same.
Yeah.
I think really, Bowie couldn't think of a good rhyme for grim,
so
went with dim, and then thought, if I chuckle,
why don't you...
it'll cover up the fact that this doesn't make any sense.
I know you...
This must be very dim. And it's sort of like, don't question this, because obviously I'm so certain about it, I'm laughing.
Why don't you... I think people like it when we role play these situations. Why don't you be Steven Spielberg, who was the executive... Who was the executive producer of Just a Gigolo? Anyway, one of the...
Not Steven Spielberg.
Let's just say you're a big film producer in Hollywood, and you're really keen to cast Bowie.
Right.
And I'm...
Bowie?
No, I'm... the producer, I'm bringing the money or so. I'm the producer.
Okay.
And you're head of the studio.
Okay. And I'm going to play you this.
No, I want you to just tell me that you think we should cast Bowie.
Okay. Hi.
we're already in a conversation.
Oh, we're already in the conversation. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
LA. You're, okay. By the way.
So here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Who are you? What's your name?
I'm Lionel.
Lionel. Here's the thing, Lionel. Producer. I really think we should cast David Bowie in this. I don't know if you've heard his acting.
Absolutely sure
on
about
on All
that?
The Mad Men? Have you heard his acting on that? Well, he does a bit of acting in the middle of that song.
For the purpose of this role play, I was going to bring that up.
Oh, were you? I didn't quite understand the role play. Okay.
What do you like about David?
Actually, you say that. You were going to bring that up as an example of how he can't act. Because I was going to bring an example of how he really can act.
As a warning from history, I would like you to hear his earlier work. I would like to reference All the Mad Men.
I love All the Mad Men.
Have you heard
it? Everything about Terry.
You know he's speaking on that.
Grim,
you know,
Victorian, gothic, mad stuff in Britain in the 1960s.
All agreed, except... He is the guy that does the line, "They must be very dim."
That's brilliant.
Have a listen again.
How does he do that?
And tell me you want to hire this joik.
Okay, so, well, let's bring David in. Let's bring David in, right? And give him a line, and maybe that line, and see how he does it, okay? I think I know how this goes.
Yes, I don't understand. I'll let you do this.
Okay, so David comes in, right? And Steven Spielberg is there, and this other guy, Lionel.
Right.
David, we're just a little bit worried.
Right.
Like, can you read this line?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Can you just read those? We think they're kind of difficult and weird, but let's see if you can make them work.
Okay.
Let's see if you can make them work, David.
Where can the horizon lie when a nation hides...
No, you're going to make it work.
It's organic. Even I know this isn't going well. It's organic mines in a cellar. I know I've got an idea. It's a long shot, but I'm going to try it to see if I can get this acting gig.
It's really not working, is it?
Dark and grim. I haven't done it yet. Here we go. Okay. They must be very dim.
Oh, that's brilliant. You are cast. That little chuckle, it did it for me.
Wow, it really paid off.
Oh, God. Anyway, we'll see you next week or whenever.
That's actually what happened, by the way.
For another edition of Stalking Time for the Moon Boys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.